So I started to get out of bed, and she pulled me back in. I tried to get out of bed again, and she pulled me back in again. So that's why I was a few minutes late, all right?
Oh, meat missile!
I know it must be really rough on you, Dan, with Katie being pregnant and all. You must be horny as hell.
Yeah, it's been tough.
Okay, these hours are killing me.
Yeah, I second that. This is our what?
Well,
12th damn time.
Hey, listen, my sources assure me...
Your sources suck.
Now it's garbage.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We're Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Scotty. We just did something.
That's pretty much all we ever do. Pretty much just did something. Hey, you know what we're doing today?
Talking trash?
Talking trash.
Talking Norris? Is this our last
Talkin'
Norris?
Chuck. No.
It's not our last Norris?
No. I know. I'm sorry.
You have two choices. You can swim for it, or you can give it up.
I'll break you like a bad habit, numbnuts.
Well, that is a third choice.
Why? Hey, everybody.
Why?
Oh, guys, this is Talking Trash. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think this movie is hated or debated, because I don't think anyone's seen it but the two of us. And well, maybe one or two other humans.
Let me get some facts then, because I got more than two other humans.
Oh.
Today we are talking about a movie that's tagline is Heroes Hit Hardest.
What? That's the dumbest tagline I've ever heard.
We are talking about 1988's Hero and the Terror. It has a 5.2 on IMDb from 4,665 reviewers. So not just two more people.
Wait, I'm sorry. What was the rating?
5.2.
Shut up. No way. No way.
Now do you give up?
Yes, this was directed by William Tanner. It was written by Michael Blodgett. Blodgett?
Okay.
He wrote Turner and Hooch.
Oh, that's another fantastic film.
It was also co-written by Dennis.
Okay.
Shirok.
Shirok?
Shirok?
How about who gives a shit?
Hero Pale Rider, Joe. Yeah, this stars Chuck Norris, and this is Chuck Norris Month, where we are watching movies that Chuck Norris has done, because we asked ourselves 2 years ago or something, we said to ourselves, do we like Chuck Norris, and do we like Chuck Norris movies? I don't know. So let's go investigate and watch some more Chuck Norris movies one day. So here we are, we're doing it, and this is our third movie of the month. And by the way, it's his birthday month, so we're celebrating his birthday by watching the things that he has given us.
Oh my God, I don't want these things that he's given us.
How about now?
They're all trash.
First off, let's just talk about the title, Hero and the Terror.
First of all, it sounds like a pirate movie.
I actually think it sounds like a Beauty and the Beast, like fairy tale. The Hero and the Terror. It just feels very like grim fairy tales. Like it feels very generic.
That would imply that the princess is a shrew? A terror?
You know, well, no. Well, the princess isn't in the title. It's about the hero saving the princess from the terror. How about that?
All right. I don't even care.
Fuck you, pal.
That's not a choice.
This is what I'm talking about. Chuck Norris's beard.
That's a funny thing. This, he's playing a character in this movie called Danny O'Brien, Joe.
I mean, it's just so on the nose. We get it.
What do we get?
You're a ginger.
Are you trying to say something? Are you attacking my kind?
I am looking at a ginger. And
how dare you?
Mr. Redbeard.
Mr. Redbeard, the hero and the terror.
Yep.
I'm the terror.
That would make me the hero.
Exactly.
I am not.
Save us all, Joe. Save us all. All right. So look, we're going to talk this movie out.
We are?
We have to, because this was one of those films that scene by scene, it was crazy. And I felt like every single scene could have a debate or a conversation about what the hell is going on.
Well, I was thinking the whole time, and I didn't say it, but I was thinking the whole time, like the Jurassic Park thing, there will be some Chuck Norris fighting in this Chuck Norris movie.
This might be a hot take, but this, out of all the movies we've seen now, this would be our fourth movie overall on the show that we've seen of Chuck Norris. And this is the first time that he actually was trying to do other things than Chuck Norris.
But, you know, well, to quote Jurassic Park again, that is one big pile of shit.
I'm gonna die!
Because we don't want Chuck Norris to be acting.
I disagree, because what was our big complaint so far? Our big complaint has been one specific thing.
That he usually is just the same guy in every movie.
He's just the badass. And yes, that's where he gets this joke about him, this meme about him being so unstoppable that he's just like godly. But that's the problem. That's what makes a bad action film or a bad film, is that you don't have a character.
Yes, but we do have a character here, and he plays, and that character is the character of the boyfriend, who is terrible. He's a shithead. He's a terrible boyfriend.
I'm just trying to get, before we even get into this, the plot, I'm just trying to talk overall what the problems are versus what, you know.
I know, but, you know, this is what happens when he tries to do acting.
I agree. That's a problem in itself, but I can't knock the movie for at least trying to make him a person. Because none of the other films we've watched have made him a person.
I will give you that. He is flawed in this.
Yes, he's extremely flawed. Okay. And I appreciate for that.
I get what you're saying. He's usually just like, you know, you can't stop him. He's going to smack you until you're dead type deal.
Exactly. Oh, he gets hurt. That's something that we've not seen yet.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten hurt much at all.
The first movie we did of this month was he was literally a forest spirit that could not be stopped. There's nothing there. Then the second movie we watched, he was a cop that cannot be stopped, even when he's fighting the devil. True. He literally chucks the devil like three times. I mean, come on.
But he's a cop in this as well. So like,
yes, but in this.
Is he always a cop though? I mean, aside from being a spirit warrior.
Are you saying that you want me to pick a movie where he's not a cop?
Is there one?
I doubt it. But I will look.
I don't think there's a Chuck Norris movie where he's not a cop. Or he doesn't.
It's like that joke with Denzel Washington always works for the government in some way in all of his movies.
Yeah, he does.
Or he's always doing something for the government.
That's
right?
The truth.
And Chuck Norris is always working for the government. He's always a cop, a marine, you know, a soldier.
A spirit warrior.
A spirit warrior who was given the land of protecting the Native American lands. What the fuck?
He's really just protecting the squirrels.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, look, I want to talk about this film. I mean, I can't. There is so much I can't wait to talk about. This movie is crazy. This movie starts off with Chuck Norris fighting or basically going to what looks like the boardwalk. Not the boardwalk, the pier in California, it looks like.
Yeah, I think they're in California.
It looks like the whole, has like a merry-go-round in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's that, I guess.
And he's going through this, and somehow he finds layers upon layers. He's with his partner, okay? And there it's really set up. Him and his partner are going through it. Now his partner is, I don't know why they chose this actor to play his partner, because he does not come off like a cop. He comes off like a concerned citizen in every sequence he's in this movie.
Like he's on like, you know, the homeowners association. Like he's just concerned about the building's welfare.
Yeah. His line of dialogue in this movie is, are you okay? Should I call backup?
Danny, should I call for backup? Danny, we should call for backup.
Jesus Christ.
Get an ambulance. Danny, I'm sorry. Oh, shit. You want me to go with you? Danny? Yeah, sure. Right away. Danny, you wait there, okay?
You wait for your backup.
Danny?
Danny! You all right?
You gotta get to a hospital.
That's all he does throughout this whole movie. His name is Jeffrey Kramer.
Yes.
Now, you were figuring this out while you were watching this movie. Who do I know? How do I know this guy?
Yeah.
And you picked it up that he was in Clue, one of our favorite movies, as the motorist. You also should recognize him from Jaws 1 and 2. Because he's Brody's. Oh,
Jesus Christ. I'm losing my movie card.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He is the deputy.
He's the deputy that, too. So... And guess what he did in that movie? Brody, do you need backup? Should I call somebody? Are you okay?
You know what's amazing about that? There's only two cops in the entire Amity.
Exactly.
And it's Brody and him. So who the fuck are you calling?
Brody virtually calls. He goes, get out there and stop those kids from cutting down the fences in that one sequence. And that's like it.
Go check out this dancing.
Yeah.
Dancing? That's it. That you got two cops in all of Amity Island.
Those damn kids are karate chopping my fence. I just love that. The background stuff in that movie is so good.
Oh my god,
Jaws is great. I can talk about Jaws all day. Okay, so him and his partner. This is set up, and this I will give the movie credit. It gets right into some crazy stuff. It starts with it, which is kind of entertaining.
Yeah,
he goes through this boardwalk. And then he keeps going in layers. So he finds a hidden trap door on the pier. And when we say this, like, I don't know how this room is hidden because you can see through all of the boards on the walk.
Yeah.
If you look at the walls in the sequence, you can see in everything.
If there's a trap door, you're literally just going to fall onto the sand.
No, right? This is the greatest part about that is there's four layers to the sequence. Because there's the top of the pier, I would think. Then there's the middle, where the merry-go-round is. Then he finds another trap door. And then there's sand underneath that room. Right? So I'm like, how many layers are going on in this sequence? Like, I don't even know. But when he goes in the trap door, he finds a murder room where a bunch of dead women are all over this room.
Here's the thing. I feel like... How did nobody ever find these women before?
Exactly.
Like, I know that this place is condemned, but, you know, in, like, condemned places, there's always one person that's going in there for some reason, whether it's a homeless person or a contractor or somebody to check out the situation.
I agree. And someone works at that merry-go-round. How has nobody smelled anything?
Right.
How does... this is baffling.
But they were all freshly dead. Because they all were still dressed, not decomposing.
They were decomposing.
Were they?
Yeah, they were nasty looking.
I didn't see that they were decomposing.
Yeah, one of them definitely had like weird things on her face.
Oh, well, you know what? You're right, because Chuck Norris went up there. He's gagging. Yeah.
Which again, Chuck Norris is doing, because normally in the other movies we've seen, he would just walk in and go, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I see Chuck Norris in the other movies. In this movie, he's scared.
He doesn't seem scared. He seems a little like, you know, taken aback because there's more than two dead women.
Yeah.
There.
I mean, he's sick from the smell and seeing the corpses, but then he's also worried and scared that the killer is here.
Yeah.
And he is. So it turns out that the killer jumps him. Now, this guy's a giant, and we definitely know him. The actor's name is Jack O'Halloran. Yeah, he was once a very famous boxer. that was about to fight Muhammad Ali, but then actually got knocked out before he fought him from another boxer. And he actually knocked that boxer out.
Wow.
So he quit after that because he had a, he found like a thing and he started acting. So because he was sick and he started acting and he was in Superman 1 and 2. That's Non from Superman. You know, the three bad guys that, yeah, you know, Superman fights, Zod. Non is the one that doesn't speak.
Right, yeah.
That's this actor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
he's huge.
Huge actor. I mean, he's a giant man, and he's awesome. He's told stories. He was on How Did This Get Made. He talked about being in scenes with certain actors.
Wow.
Some really, really cool stuff on that. But yeah, he shows up now. He, again, doesn't talk in this, just like he did in Superman. But he is this... in this movie, he's known as the Terror, but his real name in the movie is Simon Moon, which is amazing. Simon Moon. You couldn't get more. It sounds like a Nicolas Cage villain, like a Face Off, right? What's his name in that? Yeah, Simon Moon. He doesn't speak, and we're just gonna call him, instead of the Terror and Simon Moon, we're just gonna call him the Neck Snapper.
Yeah,
this guy,
all he does,
loves snapping necks. That's his MO. He's a serial killer who just goes around snapping people's necks and maybe keeping bodies. Kind of, maybe.
Here's the thing, though. We know that he doesn't he doesn't violate the bodies. Like, he's not raping them. There's a sequence
where they talk about this, but yeah, I mean, he just keeps them.
He just likes to kill them.
Setting them up and playing with their bodies.
It's weird.
It's strange. And sometimes he doesn't. It doesn't really make any sense. But he has a full-on fight with Chuck Norris where they fall out onto the beach. And Chuck Norris is losing. Like, I mean, he's getting his ass kicked. And here's, I got
to
tell you,
anybody would lose to this guy.
But that's great, because in a normal movie, Chuck Norris would be in like The Expendables or Fast and the Furious, where you just don't lose. You know, you're on equal ground. And Chuck Norris doesn't do that here. And I'm going to give him credit. He's getting his ass beat. He's almost getting murdered because this guy's drowning him. But we start seeing, as he's being drowned, that he is having a nightmare. So in the present day, he's having nightmares about this fight.
Right.
And it turns out that he actually accidentally wins the fight because when he wounds this guy, drowning him, the only reason that he fails, this killer, is that he collapses on the stairs because of his weight, and he smashes his head down on the rings.
Mm-hmm.
Or the rungs, is that what you say?
Rungs, yeah.
On the rungs all the way down, and lands in the sand. And the cops show up at that moment, and they see them. He's got the body, and he's checking his pulse. And Chuck Norris's character is just basically like... out of it, like,
well, he got his ass kicked,
and he's also frightened. Like, he just went through, so he almost died. So he had like this,
he was all fucked up.
So he wakes up in the present day, and he is all messed up. And it turns out, I think the phone rings, and that's what wakes him out of this whole dream.
Yeah. So he has a girlfriend who I guess is going to be moving in with him. So we learn that there's going to be some kind of consequences for him, you know. The guy, Simon Moon, he gets thrown into a mental hospital. Now, I have something to say about this. I don't understand. If you're a serial killer, wouldn't they put you in some sort of like, okay, if you they deem you, you know, legally unfit for trial, or mentally or physically unfit for trial, and you just go to a mental hospital, why would he not be in like maximum security? He's a serial killer. Meanwhile, he has a nice window in his freaking hospital room, and like, I don't get it.
It's a barred window.
Well, yes it is, but it's still a nice window. I mean, they usually keep, you know, homicidal lunatics maybe locked up somewhere safer, I would think.
I would agree with you, but I would also agree, in this movie, reality is not a part of this film.
That is true.
Okay.
But we know that he escapes.
Well, that's the whole thing. It turns out that Chuck Norris has woken up because of the dream thing, out of the dream, and we find out this slowly that his girlfriend is pregnant and that they are moving in together. And they're planning that. And she also was his therapist.
Yeah, this is very un-Chuck Norris-y because Chuck Norris usually doesn't have any ties, right?
Well, it's you always want to have a romantic relationship. So they always want to pair him off with whatever, like the victim, the next victim being stalked by the serial killer. He usually would hook up with that girl. In this movie, they actually gave him a life. Like he has a pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, well, that just goes, you know, to go along with the acting thing. So he has to have, like, you know, acting. And he needs a reason to do what he's doing. And so she's pregnant and she's really pretty. Who's that actress?
Bryn Thayer. She's in Blue Jasmine and Ray Donovan she was on. She plays Kay.
All right. So they move in together. She's pregnant.
Well, that's a concept. But as that's going on, we find out that this guy was put into the insane asylum. That's not the technical term.
Mental hospital? Mental health facility?
Mental health Arkham Asylum. And he
could be a Batman villain. He's quite menacing.
Yes, absolutely. We have to talk about his breakout.
Okay, this is comical cartoon stuff.
This is insane. He has taken a tube of chapstick and some granite, and he has rubbed it on dental floss, and he is cutting the bars off of his prison cell.
God.
So he can jump out the window. Now,
this is some MacGyver type shit.
Okay.
I just showed my age.
I'm just going to point this out because I had to look this all up. Now, they say this is possible. Okay, it is possible. Mythbusters did an episode on this where they made an actual machine and they had this thing running on a bar with the dental floss and stuff. It took it 285 days at 8 hours a day.
Oh my God.
To cut a bar. Now, let's just say that's a bar. How many bars did he have to cut?
Yes,
because when we see the next shot, there's like 5 bars cut. But what's even better is they're all bent for this giant to get out of.
Okay, here's the thing. This hole, maybe you can fit a 3-year-old child through. Okay, not a, you know, 7-foot giant.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Now, when he's doing this for 285 days or whatever.
Yeah, no guards are checking.
There's no one coming to his room for bed check or anything
No one checks the bars.
What?
Yeah, and if this guy can do what he can do in this film, I would say that he would have killed 100 orderlies, at least.
I mean, he just goes snapping necks left and right. He literally cracks their neck like it's a freaking crab claw.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just like a little boop. Okay, you're done. I fail to understand why they made this so comical. Like, he's huge. He's not fitting through a tiny hole like that.
And we were already laughing at this. It got worse. Can you imagine it got worse? Because he now steals I believe it's the truck for the laundry.
Oh my God. This scene, I don't understand. Was this planned out now? Because I don't think it was. I think that he just stole the laundry van.
Yeah, he didn't know he was going to drive it off.
And he crashed through the guard gate and then proceeded to drive it right off the cliff.
Because this insane asylum is built right on a cliff. 400 feet, the news says in this movie.
Oh my God.
Above the water.
Oh my God. So he drives off the cliff. Now, you're going to have to find a clip of this van falling off. Because literally nobody would ever survive this. Nobody.
So let's just say this. He drives it accidentally, seems like, off the cliff. It goes down the cliff, hits each thing. In any other movie, this thing would blow up.
It hit the rocks.
It hits, and then it lands upside down into the water. And it just crushes.
Completely obliterated this van.
And we just kept looking at shit like, okay, that shit just happened. Are we going to get a ghost? Like, what are we going to get in this movie? And we're like
no.
Wait, did he survive? Are they going to say he survived?
Of course he did.
And he's not even wounded.
No, he's fine.
He's fine.
Oh.
I mean, as fine as he can get. He is a zombie in this film. You kept pointing out that he was like Peter Boyle and Young Frankenstein.
He was walking around like that.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It keeps showing him stumbling around in this movie a lot. He doesn't do anything but stumble and stand in the shadows.
He just looks like a zombie.
They hardly show his face.
They really don't ever show it.
So we now cut to our core group, which is Chuck Norris again. He is a cop. He's got two partners, and they're doing a sting operation, right? And again, now he brings along the guy. When he's doing an operation, like a sting operation, you're going to bring the guy from Jaws again, who just doesn't do anything. Chuck Norris pretends to be at the docks. He pretends to be a chef at a breakfast bar on the docks, cooking eggs. Right?
It's the worst sting operation of all times.
While the guy from Jaws and his other partner, who stands out like a sore thumb, this actor, awesome. Completely wasted. There are so many actors in this movie that are completely wasted in the weirdest ways. This is Steve James. He's playing Robinson in this film. He was in Dress to Kill, Weird Science, Wolfen, The Warriors, and American Ninja 2. He almost played Jax.
That's right.
He passed away before he could be in the Mortal Kombat movie.
He was the one in Weird Science that said, "How about I shove it up your ass?"
He's awesome. We actually watched the Michael Dudikoff film American Ninja 2, uh-huh. And he stood out as being the highlight.
Yeah.
We kept saying, "I love this guy. I want to watch everything he does." And we see this, and I'm like, "Wow, what
a waste!"
This
is one of those movies where you recognize everybody, but yes. You just can't put your finger on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's good. That guy.
Yeah. And unfortunately, in this, he's completely wasted. His role in this movie is act like he's not a cop. And wear an open shirt to show his muscles. That is his entire character in this film.
That's what he does.
He, again, him and the guy from Jaws just sit in a car watching from afar.
It just screams sting operation.
Yeah. And another famous actor, by the way, is playing, he's in everything, the guy. I actually didn't write his name down here, but he's playing a guy who's doing some kind of drug deal of some sort.
Putting the drugs in the fish that they're peddling through the boats.
Yes.
So it's like a freaking drug trafficking operation that they're trying to, it's like a sting operation. So that's how we know that he's a cop. And they want us to know that he's a damn fine cop because he busts up this whole operation, but not without shooting up the place and putting, poor people in mortal danger that don't have anything to do with it. You know, 80s movies, you know how that goes. And
the actor, it's so weird because they go to buy eggs from Chuck Norris before he breaks it all up, and he's cooking, and the one guy goes, "These are the worst eggs I've ever had in my life," and he goes, "We'll try the toast." But then the two guys, the drug dealers, sit down and have breakfast while they're doing a drug deal on the docks, and the one guy goes, "Who's this guy? I haven't seen him before," to the cook. And, the other guy who owns the thing, he goes, "Oh, that's my cousin, Carlos."
He looks like a Carlos.
Well, hey, guess what, Joe? I know you're going to say that, Joe. That's Chuck Norris's real name.
For real?
Carlos Ray Norris.
I thought his name was Charles.
No, he was actually born Carlos.
No.
Yes. He was named his parents named him after their minister.
Yeah. I love it.
He is Irish Cherokee.
Oh,
yeah, I had to look this all up for you.
It.
Yeah, that was his real name, so that was a joke.
He is really a Carlos. Fuck yeah.
Carlos, I knew you were going to say something Ray about it.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
So, look.
I love it.
These drug dealers are not stupid. They go, "Yeah, I don't trust this guy at all." And then he goes, "You also clocked those two guys in the car over there staring at us?" They're like, they're either cops or they're checking us out for other reasons.
I mean, everything screams out sting operation.
Sting operation.
You got
like
two new cooks in the freaking kitchen at your little food truck.
One cook, cook. That's Carlos.
And then you get the two assholes sitting in the car, literally staking out and watching everybody. Like, there's nothing that could possibly scream out sting operation more.
We're like, That's a running thing in this movie. Worst cops ever.
Worst cops.
Worst cops.
Worst.
They now go for the run, of course, and they... We see how much coke is in these damn fish, by the way. There's so much
coke.
Oh, my
God. So much.
They run after them, and we get a little bit of Chuck Norris that we haven't got. He is kind of funny in this. He does say some one-liners here and there. He does say some funny things, like what the eggs. I said, you know, those are terrible. Why don't you try the toast? You know, stuff like that. He actually says some stuff. I think he says something to this one guy. I thought I wrote it down, but I don't have it. I'm mad at myself.
I mean, to call him funny, I think that's a stretch.
He's funnier than he has been. We always complained. The two things we complain about with him in the movies we've seen so far was that he's not a person. He's just a god.
Yeah.
And then he also isn't making one-liners.
True.
In this, he's doing some, at least attempts mm-hmm. at doing those things. And I'm going to give him a little bit of credit that he should get.
Okay.
For all those right. things. Right. For those things. He kicks that guy off the pier. And it looks like the actor really did his own stunt because he went flying off the pier.
It was good.
Yeah. I guess they accomplished their goals and they did a takedown. Who knows? But at the same time, we also have another plot line that's going on. It turns out there's going to be this big banquet hall thing going on for the mayor, and they're setting it up, and there is a guy who runs this hotel that has this ballroom in it, this big banquet place. He is talking to a woman who's trying to be a new employee. Like, I guess, promote her. Now, by the way, this actor, his name is Murphy Dunn. He is playing the theater manager in this film. And he's talking to this woman. He has the best quote right now. He says, "We got to get this thing ready. We've been working on it for 11 months. Do you know how long that is?" It's almost a year. I was like, oh, I got to write that shit down.
Oh, my God. I feel months. Bad yeah, for this situation, though.
Murphy Dunn. He is Murph. Of the Murph and the Murph Tones. Is that what it was? In what? Blues Brothers. He's the piano player in the Blues Brothers.
Oh, shit.
You know, they go to his, they get him from the restaurant.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right.
Was it the Murph Tones?
No.
Murph and the... What was it called? I don't even remember now. But anyways, I had to point it out because I was staring at him like, I know you. I know you.
Yeah, I feel bad for this girl, though. This is a shitty situation. She's trying to get a job, so the hotel manager hires her and sends her upstairs to change her clothes. She goes to the bathroom, so she's trying to get into her uniform to start work right away. And the fucking guy, the terror, is hiding in the goddamn air vent in the women's bathroom.
Yes.
And he kills her.
He crawls. This huge guy crawls out of an air vent.
Yeah, here we go again.
Get up on this girl and snap her neck in an instant.
Apparently he's like, you know, made out of rubber because he can completely contort himself into these tiny situations
and survive car crashes. And oh my God!
I mean, it's just so it's absurd. But this poor young girl, she gets her neck snapped. And this is what he does. This is his MO. He just hides in crawl spaces and pops out and it just crunches them like a walnut. And that's... Yeah,
he grabs them by the head. One snap.
Just crunches them like a walnut.
There's nothing to it. There's no... The girls die instantly in this movie.
Instantly. But this is like the first one... That he kills. Now he's hiding in the walls in this theater.
Yeah, he actually watched her in slow motion for some strange reason. You watch her body get pulled into the air.
Yeah,
vent.
For some I don't know why.
I don't know why it was in slow motion.
It's like it reminds me of Phantom of the Paradise, like Eric's Revenge, when he's like hiding in the theater and he just pops out just to, you know, nice. Like, hi-yo.
Nice callback.
I'm here. I want to kill you. Like, that's what his whole situation is. Now, like, I mean, this guy survived a 400-foot drop into the goddamn water with a squished van. He's literally inside a squished van.
Yeah.
And he makes it. And the place that he ends up is a movie theater? Like, yeah, what? How did you get here?
It's a far. I don't know why they chose this, but he just randomly goes to this place.
Did he swim? Like, how did he even get here?
I mean, we don't even know because... while they're driving from that drug deal thing, they hear on the news during this that he escaped prison and that they haven't found the body from the crash. And so, of course, as they're driving, the guy who fought him and is having nightmares about him and PTSD about fighting him is literally hearing it at the same moment. Like, that's crazy. And yeah. I love that we find out that he hooked up with his therapist when he was forced into taking therapy from the police station, like, after the incident.
Yeah, because he had PTSD after he was fighting this guy or whatever. So he, which is the most unethical thing ever, but I guess it does happen, that you end up with your therapist. So that's what happened. But I got to say something. This girl is not right in the head.
No. Oh, we can talk about her all day. Yeah, she is... Even she knows that she's nuts.
I mean, there's something seriously wrong with her. Can we talk about the birthday?
Oh, we're not there yet, but if you want to skip to
it. I mean, let's just skip to it.
Because Chuck Norris is, the only reason I wanted to say get to it, because he's fake, like completely, I don't know how to explain this character and what he's doing in this movie, because it is very bad acting. It's off-putting. It's bizarre. It's
weird. He's acting like someone who's never had a girlfriend or doesn't know how to act around another human being.
He does a lot of like blank, like, uh-huh. Yeah.
He just stares. Is that good? And like, you know, I would expect him to like stare and like rub his beard, you know, like maniacally.
Or at least like
something.
Have like a character, like an actual reaction to things that seems human. He acts like he's this guy. He's this badass cop, apparently. I would say the first thing that he did was stupid as shit. But he's supposed to be this hero cop. At least that's what people call him. And then when it comes to talking to his girlfriend, he's completely like an idiot.
He really is.
He's just like a blank slate. He doesn't seem to understand the smallest little things or details. And I guess that's a meta, like some kind of commentary on men. I don't really know.
I mean, no, not really, because you're definitely not like
that. Well, not like every other. Yeah. Let's face facts. We know a lot of guys who are like, you know, like that. They don't see what people are doing. I try to watch everybody, like in everything. What is someone going to need? What are they going to think about this? They're going to want that.
You're always thinking about that stuff.
And Chuck Norris in this movie is not remotely detecting.
I just think that, I see what you did there.
He's not detecting he's a damn cop. Thing.
He's a cop. He's like a detective. But he's only a detective when it comes to his work. Yeah. Because he's completely like a moron when it comes to her.
There's so many scenes where he just looks at like, huh? Yeah?
He's just staring at her.
It's so weird. But the reason that he goes, they go to dinner.
I think he forgot his lines.
Oh, no. It's so weird. His lines are so strange. He says, what happens is they go to the doctor and they get the ultrasound and they see that they're having a girl. And we find out that, you know, she doesn't want to marry him, which is strange.
She's just not ready for marriage.
She's not ready for marriage, but she doesn't seem like she's ready for any of this.
No, she's very weird. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't like the way she looks. She's like, you know, I'm so fat, I'm so pregnant, I'm so gross, blah blah blah, these things.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. She doesn't. We kind of get these little details, and we find out that she's impatient, and the doctor says, take her out shopping, right? You know, treat her good. So that he does. He goes. And I think you pointed out, I love a doctor who knows to...
No, I said I love when women have each other's backs like that. Yeah.
She's like, take her shopping, treat her good so she can get her mind off of everything before the thing. Because she's very close to having the baby.
Oh, she's big. Yeah, she's about to pop.
And they said, you said we were getting close a week ago. And now it's another week and then you don't know.
She's starting to like feel some kind of way about like she's just sick and tired of being pregnant. She doesn't want to be, you know, look the way she looks anymore. Like, she's very pretty. She's just pregnant.
Yeah.
But she just like is overly dramatic about how she looks and how she feels about herself. And she's getting older now. Cut to the fucking birthday.
Well, I wanted to stop before we go to the birthday just because he does take her shopping first.
He takes her shopping. She buys a pretty dress.
Yeah, she buys a dress. She goes and looks at a dress while he goes and reads a newspaper, as a man does when they go shopping with their wives. They just stand outside and wait with the other men. Not particularly me, but...
Well, when you go shopping with me, you're playing on your phone.
Sometimes. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, that looks nice.
Yeah, but you know me. I don't have patience for the freaking stores. Like, did you try those pants on, Joe?
We're different.
No, I don't want to. Let's go.
But I do love those little waiting areas where all the guys are staring at each other. It always makes me laugh.
I hate doing that to you. I won't do that shit to you.
They don't have phones in the 88. He does have a car Corvette.
Phone. He has a midlife crisis
he
car.
He does. He has a Corvette. His lifestyle is not supported by his paycheck.
No,
I don't think so.
He has a goddamn midlife crisis car, a goddamn convertible Corvette, and with a phone in it. You would think that that kind of car, you would just be getting chicks left and right, living that bachelor life, you know, bringing home the next piece of meat every night.
He does look Miami Vice.
He does, and he doesn't, but the vibe isn't there. Like, he's driving the car. But, oh, and he's also not wearing jeans, his staple that he wears in movies.
He's wearing the Miami Vice outfits.
He is wearing the Miami Vice outfits. I'm happy to see this change because the jeans usually ride up to his neck and they crunch his balls.
They do, but he still does wear pants and it does look awkward on him. When he goes to the dinner, he does look weird. I was going to say to you that I also have to point this out about Chuck Norris. His body... He wakes up from that bed, that nightmare in the opening, and he's shirtless. Mm-hmm. And his body's like incredible.
Yeah, he looks good.
His head does not look like it belongs on the body.
But he never does because he has that weird mullety hair. It's like an 80s mullety.
I hate to be like that, but I was like, it doesn't look like it fits.
No, never had different hair though.
That's true too.
Been the same
and
forever.
He's always looked like a certain age forever.
He's like Steve Martin. Steve Martin has looked the same.
They've
age
always looked like 50
for 80 forever. Years. Yeah. It's like they've all always looked the same.
Yeah.
So,
well, I was going to say when she's trying on the dress or whatever, a guy steals a purse down the block and is running toward him. And he looks at it like he's not going to do anything because he's with his wife and he doesn't want to cause a scene.
Girlfriend.
Oh, I'm
don't
so sorry.
Push
you're
them
right.
Into marriage.
Yeah, they're not even, engaged, just the girlfriend. But she's trying to undress him. When she's starting to come outside from buying the dress, the guy that with the purse runs right near Chuck Norris and he just
puts his arm out
and punches him right in the face, just like runs into his fist.
It was great.
And it is one of those one-liner moments where he says, she goes, what did he do? And he goes, he ran north or so. He ran.
And he went south instead of north. North.
That's what it was.
And I was like, all right, that's a good one.
He got me.
You know, lady never did get her purse back.
Yeah, we didn't see anything about that because another cop comes exactly at that moment. He lets him book him so he can go out. But he sets up a dinner because he is going through things and she can see it. She's noticing that something's wrong with him besides that. And now she does know that the killer is on the loose. And because they know he's back because they do find that girl's body. Yes. And then another body, because that theater thing that they were setting up, another woman there has a big event. And I think it's like a movie premiere. Mm-hmm. And a famous actress in that movie goes to the same restroom and is murdered the exact same way. And her body is dumped in the park. And I love when they come to see the body, they go, she looks familiar. And her head is like sideways. And not even facing them.
So the back of her head looks familiar.
Yeah, but her back of her head looks familiar.
I was like, that is the dumbest film club I've ever seen.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Now we're like having the freaking birthday. We have to talk about this because I have never seen such a crazy, uncomfortable scene in a movie.
Yeah, I guess the reason they even do this birthday scene, I don't even know why it's in this movie. It's just because he is going through something and he is trying not to be like distant from her and still be there for her. So his idea is to plan a birthday party at a restaurant, a nice fancy restaurant where they have to dress up and everything. And so they go to that restaurant. Now, from the moment one, I noticed that he is completely not there with this relationship, right? Because they pull up in a Corvette with a pregnant woman in it. Mm-hmm. First off,
it's a two-seater.
Not a good idea.
Come
Corvette,
on.
You're on the floor.
You're going to be a fucking father?
Yeah.
Where are you going to put the car seat, you dickhead?
And when he lets the valet guy help her out of the car, instead of going around to help his girlfriend out of the car, his pregnant girlfriend out of the car, he just sits there and watches. And then this is a thing, right? Then they go in and they get into the restaurant. And then the next thing that happens is he stands at the table near one chair that has nothing around it, allowing her to sit in a chair that's directly at the back of another person. And she's pregnant, so there's no space for her. So they have to keep telling the guy behind her, back up, back off.
It's mind-boggling.
But he just sits there and stares at it. That's exactly how Chuck Norris felt. Where is that?
Our Alexa just started talking out of like nowhere.
That actually scared me a little bit. I'm not even gonna lie about it. That was creepy. Going on? Yeah, that was creepy. It came out of nowhere.
It's Annabelle. She's
maybe
she's doing something.
Don't even say that name.
So the fucking belly is like leaned up against the table. This poor girl, she's stuck up against this guy. Meanwhile, Chuck Norris has all this room to like, you know, relax himself and sit back and like all this leg room.
But it's the way he stands there and watches her try to struggle without doing anything about it.
She's literally struggling to sit down.
Just say, sit in this chair instead, or let me move this table.
He doesn't do anything. He's the worst. But it gets even worse than that.
Yeah, he sits down. They both sit down, and then champagne.
Okay, he orders champagne. Now, she's pregnant. She cannot drink the champagne. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are you ordering champagne? Are you completely blind? She's pregnant.
I think he even says it like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I forgot. Okay. She's literally having your baby in like 5 minutes. I mean, come on. It's unbelievable. He's the worst. And then this is my favorite scene in the whole movie because I'm so baffled by it. He has the waiters come over and bring a fucking cake.
Yeah, and by the way, I would just say that every time something happens before the cake comes, she's getting more visibly upset.
Yeah, she's annoyed as hell. She's not happy with celebrating her birthday.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, before the cake comes, the ultimate happens. She sees another pretty woman come in to sit and say hi to the people right behind her. And she stares and she's like, oh, to be young. And then she says, oh, instead you're here with a fat ass or something like that. I don't remember. And he goes, you're pregnant. That's why you're fat.
Happy birthday, honey.
Hi, stranger. You look great.
You okay?
I'm fat, ugly, and getting old. Other than that, I'm terrific.
Honey, you're pregnant. You're supposed to be fat.
Yeah, that's right. He does say that.
And then she's like,
I was like, this motherfucker. What an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, oh my God.
She sips on the champagne, looks at him like she wants to kill him.
I mean, I would too.
And then she sips on the champagne, which is insane. And she's been called fat. And she's struggling to sit in this car. And she was driven here in a Corvette. And then the cake comes.
And then the cake comes, which is literally, there's maybe 87 candles in this thing. Okay, it's going to start the whole restaurant on fire.
And he's looking at her like, are you happy?
And they're singing to her and stuff. And she is miserable. I mean, she's like plotting his death in her head.
Almost in tears.
Like almost in tears. And literally does not blow out the candles. Doesn't want anything to do with making a wish. She goes on this 5 to 10 minute like dialogue of how her whole life sucks. She should have never given up her apartment to live with him. She should have never left her job. She should have just been independent and not had, basically just fuck this guy. That's basically what she's trying to say.
It sounds like, I hate you.
Yeah, she's trying to basically say, I hate you. And she's miserable. Then she starts crying.
Yeah, but she says to him, I shouldn't have quit my job, right? I should have continued to work. And he goes, yeah, you probably should have kept working.
Yeah. She goes, I'm so old and I'm so fat. I mean, I had independence and now I'm 36 years old.
Yeah, I think it was 35. It wasn't even that old.
What do I have? I'm like, oh my God, this bitch. Like, I was like, first of all, this is the most ridiculous scene in the movie where I couldn't even get my head around what was happening. Like, first of all, they were playing some background music. And I'm like, wait, is this the same movie that is about a serial killer?
It seems like it's a wacky comedy, especially if they keep cutting to his face and he's not moved, upset. He's not emotional. He's just like this. I'm happy for you. Now blow out the, make a wish and blow out the candles. Make sure it's a good wish.
He doesn't even like grab her hand or touch her or there's say it's no going to be okay. He's literally a dead fish.
Yeah, he makes her laugh because he says something else, but I don't know what it is, but I like how he goes, she says, I wish that it was this, I wish I wasn't this, I wish I wasn't that, and she goes on and on and on, and she's crying. It's like that scene in Pearl where she's just like telling the entire emotional spectrum of her life and how bad everything is, and he just goes, that's a lot to wish for, and she starts laughing.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, he's the worst. No wonder she doesn't want to marry him. No wonder. But she's having his baby, which is fucking worse because now you're going to be stuck with him for life.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the worst.
Insane.
I am like not feeling that these two are in love at all. I don't even think they act like they don't even know each other. It's yes, so weird. It's
so weird.
Could you ask them to take this away, please?
You don't like it?
Honey, I love it. It's me I don't like. I'm just feeling very confused. I never thought I could feel this confused. I'm a shrink, for Christ's sake.
Now, we have to talk about the police work, because we have just told you that two women have disappeared from the bathroom.
Yeah, but they were found murdered.
And they were found murdered in other locations, and nobody is exactly pinned it on that building.
Yeah, so what is this? This is called the Wiltern Theater.
Sure.
And so no one's really, like, you know, as we say, combing the desert here. Yeah. Like, you would think that this is the last place that these two women were before they were killed. So maybe, I don't know, call the SWAT team, have them burst down the walls or look for, you know, anything, because we know that this escaped convict is literally on the loose.
Yeah. He's living in the vents, I guess.
But you know, no one even checks the Wiltern. No one even checks the goddamn theater. I feel like
they did, but they didn't really check it. And until Nora says, you know what? I think it's the hotel. I want to go check the hotel. So he, after the dinner. Hotel? Whatever. It's like a hotel.
It's a theater.
It's something else, though. It's like a big place.
No, it's a theater. Not a hotel.
It's just a theater.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever. So the theater to go check it out, and he goes, and he basically brings, after they have that birthday dinner, he brings his wife there.
Okay, here's what bothers me. Like, this is almost a crime scene.
Yeah.
Why is this building still open, number one? They should have done...
It's not a crime scene because the body was found somewhere else.
True,
She just went missing from that location. They don't really know. The one guy does know that she went to the bathroom, like the movie star went to the bathroom. The other people saw the other girl go to the bathroom, but no one's piecing it together because they're thinking that she must have left the bathroom after that moment.
Okay, but, so say that's true. However, why would you bring her here?
Chuck Norris just goes, you know what? I think the killer is at that theater, and I think we should go check it out. And I'm going to call my partner, Steve James's character. I'm going to call him to meet me there because I think that we have to search that location better. And I want him to stay at that theater to make sure that there isn't anything going on.
Yeah, but why bring her? Why couldn't he just make a phone call?
He does. I know. He goes there and he keeps threatening Steve James. He keeps going, I can get someone else on this case I trust. If you don't want to do it, if I can't trust you, then I'll get someone else. And he's like, no. You can trust me. Because he keeps saying things to him, not like a cop. He's kind of like, you called me from this. I had a nice warm body in my bed and you called me away from it. And I was like, dude, you're a cop. Like,
that's like literally your job.
But what's funny about it is it's like he works for Chuck Norris, not partners.
Yeah, that's the way I feel too.
Because he just tells him, if you can't do this, I'll call someone else I can.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, no, I'll do it. But I was just like, well, why aren't you staying, Chuck Norris?
Yeah.
I'm going to go home with my pregnant wife now. I called you and ruined your night, but I want you to stay here overnight and I'm just going to get out of here. And that's what happens. And his wife even goes to the bathroom.
So,
and I thought, oh, she's gonna get taken.
I knew that they weren't gonna do anything to her because she's pregnant.
I thought that maybe he was gonna kidnap her, and that was the whole.
But that's not his thing. He doesn't do that. He snaps necks. I mean, he's gone through the whole movie just snapping necks.
But we never find out what he's doing. Like, he just snaps necks, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then takes the body and goes, and then throws him out?
Yeah, because he's not sexually molesting them. We know that.
We find that out because for some reason, another thrown away actor, Billy Drago, who's the villain in The Untouchables and the villain in, just blanked out on the other one. But he's an actor we've seen in everything. This guy's always playing a villain. He just is the therapist. Like, he's the guy who worked at the institution that he was at, the killer. And he virtually tells him he doesn't molest him. You know, he doesn't molest him. He takes them, plays with them, and then chooses which ones he wants to keep.
Like, how does that make sense? Because he was literally just snapping everyone's neck. He wasn't keeping anybody.
Well, sometimes originally he did. When Chuck Norris found all those bodies, he had them all set up like a dollhouse. He had them all dressed up. He was putting jewelry on them and stuff. And I think the only reason that he even figures out that he would be at this theater is because he has this conversation with the therapist. Because he kind of says, he keeps telling him, like, I would say that this guy's probably the smartest guy in the whole movie, because he says, that must have been a scary day for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you fought him. And this is a scary guy. And, like, you probably went through a lot. And he's, like, getting to, this guy's going through something. This messed him up. And then he said, he keeps a hunting ground. Virtually, he'll go to one location. He'll stay there. It's got to be a secret location that nobody knows about. You know, and he says all this stuff, and he gets, like, in his face, and that's where Chuck Norris virtually goes, I think I get it. I think I know now. Yeah, and that guy's only in that. He's only in that scene, this guy playing so this weird actor. Yeah, he's got the best name, Billy Drago.
It cool is cool. Name.
Yeah, he was also in Pale Rider as well. He was the villain in that, too. So, yeah, that's why he figures it out. So he leaves Steve James there, and then he goes home with his wife.
Girlfriend.
Oh, I'm sorry, his girlfriend.
She doesn't want to marry him, and I wouldn't either. Just saying, you did a total schlub.
No.
Is that it?
Yes.
I actually...
Total schlub.
If I'm not mistaken, when he leaves there, she goes into labor in the car.
Yeah, she goes into labor.
And yep. He drives her to the hospital, and he tells her to do the breathing exercise, and he actually passes out. That's supposed to be funny.
He sucks.
And you won't get you. I know he sucks.
Hey man, this is the worst fucking egg I've ever had.
Wait till you try the toast.
And you won't believe it, guys. Steve James is killed. He's literally. This is the worst sequence. Like, I don't know what's going on. But, Steve James just decides he's gonna stay in the theater. I keep seeing a hotel, the theater. And what he thinks is, you know what? I can just exercise because that's my character. I like showing off my chest a lot. So I'm just going to run in circles around the theater. And when he's running, we can see that he has his holster bouncing up and down against his back. It's on the side of his body. So he has his gun. But then while he's running around, that's when the killer just steps into the center aisle. And he's standing in the shadows and he sees him. And so Steve James walks toward him, and now he does not have the holster all of a sudden because it's on the chair near him.
Because movie.
Because
but
movie.
You know, this is amazing though that he actually has the balls to leave his crawl space and come out and into the open like this.
Yeah.
I mean, how did he know that the guy didn't have his gun on him? You know, he could have just shot him.
Yeah.
He was just like, bah.
And the first thing I said was, I would have just shot instantly.
Yeah, but of course he doesn't have his gun because, you know, movie, and he's just a dummy. Yeah. Worst cop ever. So what happens? He gets his neck snapped.
He gets close enough to get his gun to just get grabbed instantly, and his neck just snapped. No fight.
Nope.
Nothing cool. Nothing. This is an actor who's known for doing fight scenes and is being physically, like, you know, it looks physical. This guy, he doesn't do anything. Just dies instantaneously.
Ridiculous.
Just dragged out and thrown in an alley somewhere for them to find out later on, which they do. They find him in an alley, they find his dead body, and they see it at the wife of the girlfriend had the baby, and they're gonna name the baby. I don't know what it was, but I know.
Gives a shit.
Well, there's no sequence between her having the baby and him finding the body. There's no sequence of her finding out that their friend is dead.
No, first of all, they just made her have the baby to get her out of the movie.
Yeah, she's kind of out of the movie because, until the movie goes, oh yeah, here she is again.
Yeah, now the mission is that we know, Chuck Norris and his guys, they all know that this serial killer is in the theater. Like, there's no doubt now.
There's no doubt.
He's in there. So finally, the freaking, you know, all the cops, they ascend on this freaking theater and... they don't find anything. They're just They're just roaming around.
A lot of this movie is them searching the theater.
Right, but here's the thing. Like, you would have to search air vents. You would have to search, like, places where he can crawl into. And they're not doing any of that.
And no, multiple times, Chuck Norris looks at, like, a doorway and goes, have you guys checked that yet? And right. No, we haven't checked that yet. They're all like...
They're fucking worst.
In one shot, they're all standing around an area that you can just look at and see. And they're all just like searching it. And then he looks up and there's like a stair, like a ladder going up to rooms. And he goes, has anybody looked over there? No.
No.
It's like there's six of you guys looking at nothing. And there's a fucking doorway over there.
Can I just make a point about 80s movie cops? All they do is stand around with a cup of coffee and a cigarette in their hand. Like, they literally do
flashlights.
Nothing. They do nothing.
And guess what? His partner who's still alive, shockingly, the guy from Jaws, he just goes, what is it, partner?
What you
may call somebody?
What?
I love it. He actually finds the women's room. By the way, you want to talk about the women's room? We had a debate during this.
Oh my God.
They on the women's room door, it just says women's.
Women's.
And but, Joe was like, that's not correct. And I was like, it is, but there should be an apostrophe.
There should be an apostrophe, but if you're going to say women's, it should say like women's room or something.
Yeah.
Or women's restroom or something. It just says women's.
Women's.
With no apostrophe.
Yeah, it was just one word. Like, just like, it didn't look right, and we were debating it. Like,
it's annoying.
I think you have to have an apostrophe here.
That was a terrible set designer.
Yeah, that was really strange.
You're fired.
When he goes in the room, I love this. He finds, I would say it's a doggy door. It's huge. It's like there's an air vent that opens that you can crawl in.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. Anybody who was checking this place out would have seen it and gone, that is crawlable.
Yeah. You
know? So Chuck Norris, of course, opens it and he goes to crawl. He instantly crawls inside and his partner from Jaws goes, you want me to come or you just want me to stay here?
Oh my God, the worst.
Just stay here. Okay.
Every cop in this movie is the worst.
So we get this whole sequence goes on forever. They're checking everywhere, and Chuck Norris just keeps figuring things out, but he can't figure it out enough. And he gets to a brick wall area, and he's like, something feels wrong. So he goes to sit the city, you know, like town hall, and gets all of the construction plans. Wow, someone's doing actual police work.
Oh my God, and he's a detective? Yeah, what?
I know. And he finds that room that he was in with the brick walls, and he has to use like a magnifying glass to look at it. It's like right there, and finds out, oh, there's a wall. That wall is bricked off for another room, should be behind this wall.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They never checked the fucking vents or anything, and the vents would have led to that room,
That's
right?
How he got here. That's how he found this.
Okay, but he checked them, not the cops.
Yeah, he found the bathroom, and then it led to that area that was above the stage.
He did it, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole area above the stage. That's what I was talking about when he sees the ladder, and he goes, anybody gone up there yet?
Right.
By the way, there's a sky, like a sky
skylight.
Kind of, yeah, where you can remove one of the tiles from the top, and you can look down onto the audience. And that's where they're all checking out. And that's the area where he's getting from point A to B.
Right.
The killer. But we don't know how he's getting in that brick wall room.
That's what I don't know.
Baffling how he's getting in that room. Because later on, Chuck Norris goes, I think I know where he is.
They call it like an attic or something.
But it's an old walled off area. It has like an old room with actual stuff in it.
Yeah. It was like an old,
it looks like an office or a playhouse room, like a
dressing room, like an old dressing room. And, you have to have at least a door. Like, even if it's bricked off, there has to be another way in and out. Cause how is the freaking serial killer getting in and out?
Yeah. And by this time, because he knows that he's on to them with killing Steve James, the killer goes out and kills another person in a parking garage for no reason.
Like, okay, we get it. First of all, we never, ever, ever see his face, really.
It's like really hard to see him.
He just goes behind these women and just snaps their neck. What is the reasoning of this? Like, we already know he's a killer. Why do we need to see this random woman carrying her groceries and getting killed? Like,
you have to watch a whole sequence of this woman walking around in the parking garage. And I love that she doesn't lock her car because she said he, of course, is sitting in the back seat. She doesn't unlock the door. She just gets in her car.
Right. It's just so like time padding. It's gratuitous time padding. I can't take it.
It's strange.
It was stupid. I was like, why? Why do we need to see this? Like, there's no reasoning. And at this point in the movie, mind you, Chuck Norris has not had any fight scenes. Like, no, there was maybe one at the beginning when he fought him in the sand.
Yeah. And when he goes and looks at those plans, he goes for a walk on the beach and he ponders life.
So we have that 80s montage of him just walking around with the birds flying around and
seagulls
him,
are all going around
and
him.
The seagulls, and he's just pondering and wondering where he went wrong in life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, fucker, just, I can't. Like, so, go back to the fucking theater and get him.
Well, he goes to his girlfriend and he says, I think I know where he is. And she's like, do you have to go and get him? Of course you have to go get him. You have to go get him. And then he's like, if I come back,
we're going to get married.
Yeah. I don't even remember them saying that, but that's what you said. So I'm like, okay. Well,
I think she agreed to marry him if he comes back.
Yeah, come back to me. So he leaves for the mission. He calls the Jaws guy. He says, hey, get a SWAT team here. I think I know where he is. He's in this thing. Show up there as soon as possible. And don't go in there without us. Of course he's going to. So he goes to that brick wall. He kicks it in and he gets to the killer.
Yeah, which is, this is the first time he's done anything Chuck Norris-y, you know? Like, I mean, he kicks down the wall. All right, we're going to get a fight scene, right? It's going to be a fight scene. We got our first fight scene in the entire movie, aside from the first.
From the opening.
Yeah, from the opening. And
and that guy's on the dock when he kicked the drug dealer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we had like a whole solid hour of nothing.
Yeah. I guess so. It's just a lot of setup. It's like a thriller. This movie's really a thriller, I guess, but it's odd. But they do have the final fight.
Yeah, he gets his ass kicked again.
He gets his ass kicked.
But the best thing is...
Of course, because movie, he can't snap his neck.
No. I mean, he can snap all the girls' necks.
And Steve James.
Oh, no problem. And Steve James, yeah. But
who's fit.
Yeah, he's fit. But 5'9", Chuck Norris, up against a 6'4 guy, right? Is that what he was, 6'4?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I don't think he would stand a chance. He would snap you like a twig, but he does fine. And he manages to kick him through the like atrium glass after he throws him through a brick wall first.
Oh yeah, they get thrown through a big brick wall.
Is throwing a 6'4 dude through a brick wall.
I thought he tackled him. They tackled him.
Yeah, he went through the wall too.
So what's really interesting is he's choking out Chuck Norris, almost throws him off the balcony from the roof.
Yeah, and the cops down below, did you notice they're just sitting there watching, drinking their coffee?
Yeah, the helicopter comes and puts the light on him, which is another staple in these movies.
Of course.
And it kind of blinds the killer a little bit to allow Chuck Norris to climb to, or at least we thought he was going to climb back over to fight again. Instead, he just gives a punch to the guy, and the killer, instead of just punching him off the thing and killing him, he pulls him back up.
Yeah, why?
I don't know, but then he's going to kill Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris is able to last second get out of dying again, and he does what is one of the most unbelievable things. He picks this dude up and puts him on his shoulder and then chucks him through the ceiling, the rooftop, through the glass, through the thing where the skylight is, all the way down into the theater, onto the chairs, and he dies.
First of all, 5'9", picks up a 300-plus-pound 6'4 guy.
Yeah.
All right, that's okay. We'll accept that. We'll accept it. It's fine.
It's unbelievable.
But the fact that Chuck Norris is how old during the making of this film?
Well, this is only 88, Joe.
But hasn't he always been 50?
I that's my point. I mean, I have no idea.
I'm going to go ahead and say that he was probably broke his back doing that. But yeah, that's it. He kills the guy. He kills him.
Well, he was born in 40.
Yes. So he was 48 at the time of this?
Yeah. Well, at least on release.
Just like I said, he's almost 50. I'll tell you what, I am younger than that, and I can't even walk up the stairs without moaning and groaning. So I can't imagine picking up a 6'4", 300-pound dude and just tossing him over my shoulder like a rag doll. Just saying.
I agree. What I love is that when he's looking at the guy's dead body on the chairs, the Jaws guy comes and goes, wow, you don't look so good. Oh boy, that guy's dead. Oh, you should go to the hospital. You look hurt. That's this guy's job in this whole movie. And Chuck Norris goes, "You're right. I should go to the hospital. But it's not to get fixed up. It's to go see my girlfriend and my baby." And so he goes to the hospital, and he's walking into the hospital. And before he gets on the elevator, he sees a priest come off the elevator. And so we know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. He grabs a priest, and they open the door to the room, and she sees him, and he puts the priest out next to him, and they smile, and they both laugh. Finn. And it goes to credits, and we get a very bizarre love song in this movie. Between this couple seems like they are not in love.
No.
There is no real, like, satisfying conclusion. They just kill the bad guy. He's dead. It's so odd. And they play this song that sounds like it would have been nominated at the Academy Awards from, like, an Arthur film. It's like a duet.
Oh, my God. Hey, right? Man, I think you're dissing Christopher Cross.
It's like a duet. It's so bizarre for this film. And to have it on the freeze frame of Chuck Norris smiling with a priest next to him.
Yeah, I don't like it. And if I were her, I would never marry his ass ever. It's so
weird.
He's the worst.
This movie, is this...
I mean, there was like no... First of all, you know, you say that you like the fact that he had an opportunity to act. But did he, though? Because...
I didn't say that I liked the opportunity to act. I said that I enjoy the fact that they gave him a character, or they at least tried to make him a person, instead of just having him be the guy that he always is in these films. I'm appreciating the movie for trying.
I mean, okay, fine. But there's just like no acting happening here.
No. Oh, he is none. Awful. We're finding that out, that he is not a good actor.
He's just not a good actor. I mean,
he's good at being himself and doing the mugging and the kicking.
The mugging. You know,
he's just staring and giving a little mug and then kicking somebody. And that's his thing.
But that's always been his thing.
It's not a leading man scenario. It doesn't really seem like that at all. But I'm going to give the movie credit for the screenwriters or the movie itself for trying. I was thinking about the whole movie. Like, what if you replace this guy? What if you replace Chuck Norris with anybody else?
Yeah.
Would this have been better?
Yeah.
Like, if it was John Travolta. No, you're laughing, but I'm like,
why him?
Just, I was thinking about him during the whole movie. I kept thinking about him in Blowout.
Oh, it's a good movie. Okay.
I love that movie.
I thought you were going to say something like Sylvester Stallone, like another action star.
I wasn't thinking an action star. I actually thought there isn't much action, so it doesn't really need that. It could be anybody.
All right, I get it.
And I was like, you know, what if it was somebody like a John Travolta-esque guy?
I think in the 80s, I could see that.
Would I have liked it? Because there would have been some kind of charm there.
Yeah.
There would have been something that would have connected with the wife, with the girlfriend and the baby. That some of the jokes might have actually been there.
I think Travolta is more charming. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Chuck Norris is not. If it had charm, maybe this movie would have been more strong.
Yeah, you know, it's like there are so many actors out there that have charisma and can also do fight scenes. And Chuck Norris just doesn't have charisma. He's so blah.
Yeah, it's an odd that he ever was a successful leading man. I understand that he knows how to fight. Like, I know that I get that. But there are so many other guys that he never was able to make it successful. And it's so weird to me that he was the one that connected with people so strongly.
Like, I get Van Damme, you know, because he had, he was...
And they're doing
charming,
more fight.
And he was a real fighter, and he had sex appeal and all that stuff. I get it. But here, I'm just not even seeing any of those qualities.
That's what I'm saying.
I just don't get it. Like, even John McClane, Bruce Willis was hot back then. You know, he was an attractive guy, and he...
What was hot about him is that he has the humor. He has the...
He's a smart ass.
It's not about the fight style. He is like a normal, everyday guy street brawling.
Right.
Like he is, he'll go at it the hardest way. He'll be dirty fighting.
Right.
And it feels more real for like a cop. And Bruce Willis nails that feeling of an everyday guy fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the other action stars is they all feel superhuman. And it's very rare that a guy feels like a regular guy.
Right.
It takes a lot for an action star to cross both feeling like a person who's likable and then also feeling like they can fight. You know what I mean? There's guys that have pulled that off where we've seen Donnie Yen feels like it's like times like he's just godly when he's fighting.
Yeah, he is.
But he brings some charm. Same thing with Jackie Chan. You know, like they bring a likability to it that you kind of go, okay, I'm here because you also feel like a genuine dude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain that. Chuck Norris doesn't. Chuck Norris just feels like he knows I'm badass. And I don't like that. I think Vin Diesel has that too. It's just that weird feeling. And if they would have like cast, I kept thinking, who would I put? Anybody I think could have elevated this film, made it a little more interesting.
Yeah. What are you going to give it?
I didn't hate it. I don't hate it. It's so far these movies have all been on par with each other in their own weird ways. I wouldn't say so far that I've hated any of them, but I also don't think they're that great. I could never sit there and watch any of them again. They're all very below mediocre to me. So I would say 4.
Yeah, I gave it a 4 also.
Yeah.
Because it's not the worst, but it's not even mediocre. It's a bad movie. It's not, there's nothing really going on. It's kind of just bare bones, and Chuck Norris is bare bones. I don't think that, so far of all the movies I've ever seen with him, it's just been the same.
Yeah.
It's just been the same.
Yeah, it's a tough one. We wanted to see if we could get it out of that realm and see something and go, this I get. And I was saying, this is more in the right direction for him. It's just that he's not doing it right.
Yeah.
It's not clicking. It seems like the wrong vehicle for him, but they're almost getting to the right location. It's like, get a little humor, make him more human. And they were trying, and they think they were getting there. It's just this movie overall wasn't the right fit.
Yeah, agree. Well, that brings us to our segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things, where I'll read two extremes of online reviews, one 10-star and one 1-star review, as proof that people do not know how to rate movies and they ruin it for everybody. I'll start with the 10 out of 10, the best. Hero and the Terror is my favorite of all Chuck Norris movies, and I've seen them all, starting with my least favorite, Slaughter in San Francisco. Too bad it didn't contain his actual voice, but we're not here to talk about Slaughter in San Francisco. Hero in the Terror was fantastic, and it's the Chuck I think of first when I think of Chuck. The scene where Chuck is in his underwear is etched into my mind forever. I don't have to rewatch it to remember it.
Hmm. Wow. Jeez. What was the name of this person?
This person is...
Miss Norris?
It's just a bunch of numbers and... doesn't make any sense, but Miss Norris.
Is it a phone number? Should we call it?
God, no.
Make sure this person's okay.
WZ734.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is the 1 out of 10, 0 and the Error. This was painful. I made myself watch it until the end, even though I had absolutely no interest in the plot, if there was one. My patience was not rewarded. The ending was even worse than the rest of the film. Chucky walks into the hospital with a priest, and his concubine says, I do. How vile can one movie be? What? His concubine. Okay, I would not call her that.
How vile can this movie be?
How vile can one his movie
concubine. Be? He's trying to marry her the whole movie.
Yeah, that's... okay, first of all, he doesn't know what a concubine is. So that's number one. And number two... First of all, if you...
I'm baffled.
I am baffled, too. If you were not interested in this movie from minute one, then why'd you even put it on? I mean... I mean, we watch this trash, but we're interested in it at least. So, yeah.
So weird.
That's a bit harsh.
Yeah, to say the least.
I don't like it. Anyway.
I can't stop thinking about the street terror in San Francisco, slaughter in San Francisco, which we've actually seen. And now it made me think, oh, we have seen another Chuck Norris movie off the show. And besides Sidekicks, which we also have mentioned a couple episodes ago, that movie is very funny because in that movie, he's playing a villain. And yeah. That movie is actually insane. It might actually be so bad it's good, that movie. I wish we would have done that on the show because it is very funny and very confusing. It didn't make any sense.
Well, what's our next and final Chuck Norris movie?
That is up to the Chuck Norris gods. Well, there's what is going to happen because I had a few and one of them is not available. So,
oh.
Yeah, it went missing. So I have a couple other ones that are possibilities right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're saying this isn't the worst movie ever made.
No.
It is not even breaking our top five of the worst movies ever that we've seen on the show so far, like Mortal Kombat Annihilation and Toxic mm-hmm. Avenger 2.
Yeah. It's not that
Leprechaun
bad.
Leprechaun Back to the Hood and the Star Wars Christmas Special, which is number one.
Nothing's ever going to knock that out. Nothing.
So Chuck isn't doing very good with us, but I'm not hating what we've seen. In fact, the first movie we did, The Forest Warrior, we've given a 5. So,
Well, whatever Forced Vengeance is, I would like to see that one.
And that's the one I wanted to watch and we can't watch.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What about...
We'll talk about it at the
show. The Octagon, you know, it's going to be some major.
I actually was looking at that too because I've heard a lot about that movie, so that might be a choice.
All right, I'm done. I'm here for it. And you know, we got one more. Let's chuck this up. I'll see myself out.
Okay, I love that so much. Thanks for listening, guys. As always, hit us on Instagram for whatever.
Talk to us about
chuck out your thoughts.
Chuck your thoughts our way. And and just to say hi.
Yeah, we're on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night, and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. She's making some nice things. Go check him out. And as always, until next time, thanks. Bye.
Honey, that was a great meal.
It's not over yet.
Birthdays come but once each year, so we send this message clear. Happy birthday, Kay, my dear. Happy birthday till next year.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
Okay, make a wish.
Could you ask them to take this away, please?
You don't like it?
Honey, I love it. It's me I don't like. I wish I wasn't feeling so confused. That's what I wish. I wish I hadn't given up my cozy little apartment. That was my independence. I wish I hadn't taken a sabbatical. I think I really need to work, Danny, don't you? I wish I could turn the calendar back, but I can't. I wish I wasn't 36. But I am. I wish I didn't have to worry so much if this kid was gonna be normal. And I wish I didn't look like the Goodyear blimp.
That's a lot of wishes for one birthday.
Danny, should I call for backup?